The objective here is twofold. One is to get the right case to the Supreme Court, and we've got four or five of them that are headed there, and also to try to convince the legislatures that they shouldn't certify false statements. They shouldn't certify completely bogus vote counts. The vote count in Pennsylvania is somewhere about 600,000 to 800,000 off what actually happened. We have witnesses that can prove that there were at least 600,000 to 700,000 ballots that were put into the vote without any inspection, as the law requires. And there'd be no reason not to allow that inspection unless you were cheating and having to make up a big gap of 800,000 votes where the president was ahead of Biden at the beginning of the night. And then, you know, by the end, every state he was ahead in, he lost. That's uncanny. It doesn't make sense. Instead, in each one of these states, the Democrats used the same method of cheating, which was to take the mail ballots and stuff them in the ballot box and exclude the Republican inspectors so they wouldn't see what was happening. That happened in, it happened in Pennsylvania. It happened in Michigan. It happened in Wisconsin. It happened in Nevada. It happened in Arizona. And it happened in Georgia. At least those six states. Each one, same pattern.
Now, Giuliani, you're listing off these states where it happened, but the judge was quoted saying charges require specific allegations and proof. And he said that we have neither here. So what is going on with his statement?
Well, I don't know what's wrong with his statement. Our allegations were very specific. It names the person who saw it, the time they saw it, the number of ballots they saw. I don't know how much more specific it could be. I can't explain that. I can't explain that any more than I can explain the media saying we don't have evidence when we have 400 or 500 affidavits under oath specifically witnessing crimes that were committed in five or six different states in what is the biggest voter fraud scheme in the history of this country. They just, maybe they don't want to believe it. I don't know. The Democrats are lying. I don't know about the judges, why they shy away from the fact that the allegations are quite specific.
First things, David, America's defense attorney, Rudy Giuliani.
I needed to one time in 2 months of these podcasts to go into the OAN world. We have now gone into that world today, and it is a frightening, bizarre, confusing, as well as laughable, pathetic, stupid world. OAN is, of course, the news network. That's what they call themselves, a news network, One America News Network. And it's to the right of Newsmax, which is like four clicks to the right of Fox. So we're venturing into conspiracy land. So first things today is Rudy Giuliani and the last gasp of the Trumpian arguments.
Are you sure? The last gasp?
Man, I was like, when you were playing that, I was making a list. I said, okay, when Steve comes on, I want to talk about that. Then I was like, nope, that. No, that too. Okay, that as well. And I got up to about six or seven. I'm like, that's just too many. The number of things that are just not true in what he has to say and what they're claiming they're going to do, to me, leads it to just like absurd. But here's why I think it's the last gasp. It's because he wants to go to the Supreme Court. They want to go to the U.S. Supreme Court. And the case yesterday in Pennsylvania, which had been first thrown out with prejudice, which means that it can never be brought again. I had been thrown out with prejudice on earlier this week, but it was Sunday last week, I think. Uh-huh. Had been thrown out with prejudice, was then appealed to the Third Circuit Court of Appeals. Yesterday, the Third Circuit Court of Appeals unanimously 3-0 said there's nothing here and had the memorable line in it. Well, what was that? Do you have that specific line? Let's see. Allegations require proof. And here, I sent it to you. Let's see. Here we go. Oh yeah. This is the three judges in the Circuit Court of Appeals yesterday. Charges of unfairness are serious, but calling an election unfair does not make it so. Charges require specific allegations and then proof. We have neither here. Voters, not lawyers, choose the president. Ballots, not briefs, decide elections. Well, that kind of dismissal by three hardcore left-wingers on the Circuit Court of Appeals, judges appointed by, I'm pretty sure, like Bernie Sanders. Well, no, wait. Oh, I got that wrong. These three judges were appointed by Republicans, and the person who wrote that opinion, who's he appointed by, Steve?
He's a Trump appointee.
He's a Trump appointee. Okay. So we're the only stop left on the crazy town Trump train is the Supreme Court of the United States. That's where they're going.
Well, I mean, you never know. They've interceded before to decide an election.
I know. True. And how many ballots were we talking? How many ballots were at issue in that one?
Wasn't it 500 and something?
Yeah, it was somewhere in that range, like 400 to 500, somewhere in there. I mean, it was in there for sure. Yes. So here, and in that case, with all the problems that were present in that decision, there was an ongoing recount. There's none of that here. You have votes certified by electors in Michigan, in Wisconsin, in Pennsylvania, in Arizona, in Nevada. So, you know, and in Georgia. So we're not talking about like some recount happening in the same way. And we're talking about hundreds of thousands of votes. So until the Supreme Court takes this up or doesn't and rules on it, we will not have final say. I know that. But that's coming. It's coming shortly. And it is the last gasp hope of the Trump train legally in this election. Now, I just want to – so it's coming. It's coming in the next week and a half probably. And it's going to be a couple different court cases, as Giuliani mentions. But the argument that there's 600,000 to 800,000 ballots that Trump won by 600,000 to 800,000, which would have meant a flip of 80,000 from what Biden won by 84,000 in Pennsylvania, plus another 600,000 to 800,000. And that the same kind of, not chicanery, but absolute fraud occurred in a select number of states. Those just happen to be the states that Trump lost, but not in any other states. Not in any other states. And it's just uncanny. I love that word by Giuliani. Uncanny that Trump lost the states he lost. I'm not sure how that happened.
Yeah, well, he was winning that night.
Exactly. He was winning, but somehow, because of all these ballots being shifted in all these states, including Georgia, even though they have now done a hand recount in Georgia, which showed that, you know, no ballots were flipped. What happened was a couple of thousand ballots were missed, but no ballots were flipped by a machine. What do you think is the thing going on here? Do you think that they really think this? Or do you think that they just fucking don't have anything better to do, and they think that this somehow advances their agenda to just at least have the argument?
Well, do you think, and I'm gonna join QAnon here, do you think that the Russian investigation delegitimized the Trump presidency?
delegitimize the Trump presidency. Sure, let me just go with it. Yep, it did. It undercut the credibility of the presidency. It did.
So I think that's what they're doing. They're just saying, well, that worked for the Democrats to keep Trump from being taken seriously by a big chunk of the world. Not his policies, right? Not his statements, but this Mueller investigation, they would believe. And so maybe that's what they're doing. They're just going to have a way to continue to hammer and undermine the Biden presidency.
Yeah, it does seem to me to be an approach that is flawed on so many fronts, because it seems to me that we're getting the ultimate affirmation of the legitimacy of the Biden-Harris victory, by having these judges ruling nonstop on behalf of the legitimacy of this election. Mark Elias is the lead attorney for Perkins Coie and for the Democrats nationally. And he runs a website called Democracy Docket. And he's regularly tweeting about lawsuits they're responding to against to block Republican claims. And he keeps a running tally of the record of wins by the Trump administration since the election, in the Trump campaign since the election. And there are 1 win and 38 losses so far. And the 1 win was to block a couple thousand ballots, maybe in Pennsylvania, that eventually was later kind of stayed by a judge. So they're really winless, but let's say they're 1 in 38. And yesterday he just tweeted out, he goes, the only question he has is the Trump campaign going to get to 50 losses? Okay. And he says he thinks they will. And so the ultimate affirmation seems to be these judges confirming it, the win of the Biden-Harris campaign, because they are consistently Trump judges. The Trump judges seem to like take the greatest glee in blasting Trump. It's like they're establishing their own cred by criticizing him and the campaign. So we're going to see what happens when it gets to the Supreme Court. We're going to see.
You know, there's the argument that they're making, the sort of traditional argument from ignorance that they're making, right? I looked it up because I wanted to get a little more clarity. It asserts that a proposition is true because it has not yet been proven false, is one way of doing it, right? So it's called an argument from ignorance or an appeal to ignorance. And when I listen to Rudy Giuliani's arguments about what's happening, it is akin to listening to, again, I'm back into Art Bell territory, you know, and the late at night radio shows where people would call in and say, I can't prove that I saw this alien, but there were a lot of suspicious things happening, and I did see some footprints that I can't explain. Ergo, it must have been aliens. And that's kind of where we're going with, and it's a very powerful logical fallacy that people use when they want to cloud the field with ignorance, with a lot of talk and no facts.
You know,
but it's powerful.
Sure. We don't have a counter argument to it that is not laden in facts, so we don't.
Yeah, that's the whole problem, isn't it?
Yeah. Right. Several of the claims that Giuliani makes in that statement have been already dismissed as not true. They've been dismissed by other courts as not true. The notion that Republicans weren't allowed to to view, poll watchers weren't allowed to look at ballot counting. That's just not true. These allegations of several hundred thousand ballots just showing up, there is no evidence of it. So I think that Giuliani makes his case around allegations. That's what he talks about. He goes, well, our allegations are as clear as they could be. Okay, they are as clear as they could be. They're lacking any proof for the allegations. So I don't think we can ever get rid of the conspiracy perspectives, but we are close to getting, and I think we're going to get it, the ultimate affirmation that Trump lost. Trump lost. Like, to me, the on-ramp, the off-ramp that Trump would want at this point, Trump, would be to, like, say, fuck it, we're not going to the Supreme Court. We're just not, because it's all rigged. It's all rigged. Forget it. We're not.
Well, that's possible. I can see that. I mean, the judges got captured, even though they were Trump judges or Republican judges. They got captured by the deep state once they were put in power because of the power of the Democratic conspiracy. Democrat/deep state conspiracy.
That's good, Steve. Go with it a little bit. Give me a little bit more. So what's the argument here?
We can't trust. Remember, we can't trust the swamp. We can't trust what people do or say once they get to Washington, i.e. Washington being the federal government, because the federal government is, you know, it's a mammon. It's basically corrupt and corrupting. I don't know, and only a few people, I guess, can withstand it. Somebody like Trump is one, maybe because he's such a straight shooter. I guess that's one way. You know, that's what it seems like. That's why it does seem like Trump may say, "Forget it, we won't go to the Supreme Court." But even then, I mean, yeah, you know, hard to say what he well. The Supreme Court would have gone our way, but Roberts is now been in there too long. Well, what's the argument going to be?
Sure, right, exactly. What's the argument going to be? This is a high school boy saying, "Oh yeah, I could have won her over if I just would have asked her out."
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right.
You know, I would have had her, man. I decided it wasn't worth it though.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. That's good. That's good. And if he goes to the Supreme Court, that imprimatur might be a little too much, but I don't know. I don't think it would even matter in that case. I mean, people will find a way to deny the evidence that's in front of them.
So what's your ideal outcome at the Supreme Court, assuming the two options are these, in my view. One, the court takes up some case and just rejects it strongly, like
9-0,
okay, or that the court doesn't take up a case, that, you know, they can just decide they won't even take a case. What do you think would be? I think it'd be better to see them take up the case and reject it 9-0, right?
For the country, for the good of the country.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. If you're Donald Trump and they refuse to take the case, then it's always left hanging. Which may be
right.
Why they decide to take it.
Right.
Which may be, again, why maybe they'll, you know, the Trump folks will say, nah, forget it. These judges are, I mean, what did he say? I don't know why these judges look at the evidence and they don't see it. I don't know what that's all about.
Sure. Well, this is the one last stop on the Trump crazy town crane is the Supreme Court. You know, Trump said back when he was appointing Coney Barrett, you know, I'm hoping this gets to the Supreme Court and my judges on the court. And, you know, until that moment is sealed, there will be some doubt. Until that moment is sealed, things are on the way there. But at this point in time, I would think there would be some encouraging evidence for the Trump train to crazy town that they got a shot at the court if they were going to have a shot. I would just think that there would have been some 2-1 decisions at least where they had a dissenter who was making an argument that the court could then pick up and you know leverage, or that there wouldn't be these absolute out of hand rejections by Trump appointees of the Trump arguments. I don't know. There's this part of me that thinks that like they're doing the country a service unintentionally, that they're actually doing us a favor by going through all of this and having the rejection be so strong.
You know, this is my way of answering you, because I just think that that you're using logic, and I don't know that logic is what's at play here.
None. There is not. Yeah.
On Thanksgiving, usually around Thanksgiving, Maureen Dowd turns her column over to her conservative Trumpian right-wing brother, who's a fine writer. And then he makes the case, and again, he made the case this time, why Trump was probably going to be seen by history as a great president for the things he did for the country. And I just picked one thing out because I just wanted to follow it up. So he talked about the great bipartisan effort of the Trump administration and Senator Tim Scott and some other folks to pass the Opportunity Zones bill, which was the greatest boon for underserved and under-resourced neighborhoods, districts all around the country. And that what it did was it let investors invest in these opportunity zones, and then if they kept the investment for 10 years, they would have to pay any capital gains on that money. So if they made a bunch of money, like, you know, in high tech, and then they took it and they invested it in something in these neighborhoods, they would and kept it for 10 years, they would write it off, and these neighborhoods would get all these wonderful benefits. And it was, you know, the greatest thing ever done by Trump, and unique and brand new. Well, if you actually do the research, the one thing Trump did was he made the funding a little more secure. But he also, this was an idea that Obama had, this was an idea LBJ had, Nixon. I mean, the opportunity zones under different names have been around for a long time. What Trump changed was that it allowed people to invest in just about anything. And so what they think is happening, they haven't done good research yet because it's new, but it's not that new. What they think is happening is that folks are going into these neighborhoods and investing in real estate for wealthy people. Therefore, you know, furthering gentrification in these neighborhoods. And then those folks will benefit from the, you know, from the capital gains write-off they get. And in the meantime, they'll get those neighborhoods, which were promised, you know, jobs and sort of useful training and work in industries that would be embedded in their community. That's not really happened. So it's kind of a smokescreen. And you know, he didn't say that in his column. He said it was just this great thing that Trump will eventually be recognized for. It's in the nuance, is my point. It's in the nuance. It's in the details, and not in the headlines that we have to look. And you know, but for him, all he needed was that Opportunity Zone work. He worked with Tim Scott. Look at how more blacks and Hispanics voted for Trump. Ergo, Trump has been a great president. Sort of, you know, buffing down all the rough edges and not looking under the rug. And I think that's what's happening here. They're not going to look under the rug. They're not going to look anymore for the logic of the argument, like that a conspiracy, a vast conspiracy of Democratic operatives took place across the entire country. They're just going to say, yeah, I could have had it. I could have had that girl, but I didn't. Therefore, you know, I'm still great, and you guys stole it.
It's uncanny, Steve. It really is. It's uncanny.
I know that was kind of a long-winded explanation. I'm sorry.
No, it's an articulation of the worldview of there's a claim made here that is not followed through by the actual suggestion of the claim. The evidence does not follow the implied focus of the claim. So the opportunity zones are opportunities not for the people that live there, but for the people who are wealthy making the investments.
Yeah.
In this case, the idea that Democrats and others would have voted for Joe Biden in six of these swing states, which decided the election, is just not possible. It's not possible according to the worldview. And thus you need to come up with another argument and then another argument and another argument. And it seems to me that ultimately we're past the point of any of this being taken seriously, although it's got to be taken seriously by the court, but it's losing its power culturally. And to me, at this point, the absurdity, the entrance into OAN world, the living of that, of living in OAN world, is actually doing the country kind of a service. It is. It's helping us to see how absurd these are. And if we're doubly lucky, Steve, here, it will have an impact on voter turnout among Republicans who buy into this crap.
You mean it'll encourage them to turn out or not turn out?
No, to doubt the system and to thus step back and say, you know what, it's not even worth it. It's not even worth it. And to return the voting system to the folks who are coming at it with a certain kind of integrity and credibility.
Well, that'll be interesting. I mean, that'll be a test in Georgia to see how the turnout is there, because there's going to be some massive campaigning on the part of the Trump side and the Biden side. It'll be interesting to see how they pitch that argument. Voting
how do
is
you
fraudulent.
Pitch that? Right.
Yeah. Voting is fraudulent, but you should vote here because we don't want them to steal it again, even though we know they will if they win.
Exactly. Voting is fraudulent. The machines stole it. The Secretary of State stole it. The governor is an accomplice. And they're all still in power. Nothing has changed. Now go vote.
Yeah. Maybe they don't really believe it.
That's what I think. I think they don't really believe it. I think it's all just fun and games. It's the equivalent to me of pundits who will go on the air, level their arguments from their candidates, and then when the cameras turn off, they're like, oh, you know, hey, that was kind of fun. That was kind of fun. Okay? Because they're fine.
Yeah.
They're fine.
Next time you take that point, and I'll take this other point, because I have some ideas on how to argue that.
Sure. So, anyways, today's focus is on the Trump Crazy Crown final stop, which is going to be the Supreme Court. Not tomorrow, but the next day, which is Monday, we're going to start our Georgia. We're going to return to Georgia as a point of focus, because the campaign is starting to pick up. In fact, Trump is going to go to Georgia next week and make the argument that we're eager to see how he makes it. I've got a bunch of things kind of stored up to talk about with Georgia. But the last stop for the Trump Crazy Town is coming up at the Supreme Court. And along the way this week, we've got Arizona and Wisconsin got to certify this week. So we're getting closer and closer.
Okay. Well, I'm pretty sure that at some point the folks on the Crazy Town train are going to stop in the middle of the desert and build themselves a city and just fortify it and stay there and be throwing bricks at everybody who walks by for the next 4 years and beyond.
Well, we might need to extend the podcast every day for the rest of our lives, Steve.
That's right. The direct line into Crazy Town.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Let's go to work.
Let's go to work.
Phone calls today. Phone calls today for Georgia. 2 phone banks.
Oh, all right. We got to get on that. All right. Well, let's go to work.
Okay. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks.